They can definitely perform for your nephew's soccer game, work through a scattered thunderstorm, or be dependable on Sunday afternoon trips to the grocery store. Because no matter what the weather's like, it's nice to know that you've got a proven tough Duralast battery under the hood. Duralast. Proven tough. And sold only at AutoZone. Let's get you what you need. Get in the
zone. AutoZone. Hey, Junior Nation, MRN and Wrangler want to send you and a guest to Miami and Ford Championship Weekend to cheer on Dale Earnhardt Jr. in his final Cup Series race.
Enter now at MRN.com for a trip of a lifetime. The grand prize includes travel and hotel accommodations, grandstand tickets for all three races, pace car rides, pit passes, and much more.
It's the Salute to Junior Sweepstakes, presented by the Wrangler Performance Series. Jeans and pants for less restrictions and more living.
Try on a pair today.
Xfinity Series haulers are rolling into Charlotte Motor Speedway this evening ahead of practice tomorrow and Saturday's playoff elimination race. Richard Childress Racing said today they've re-signed Kannapolis native Daniel Hemric to return next year, and Hemric says he can't wait to race in front of a home crowd.
Anytime you go back home in a race, for one, it's cool, but to know you're doing it and you're part of the playoffs is really special. So it's always a good feeling to know you have so many family, friends, and fans sitting in the grandstands and people that have been around your race career your whole life, and to know it's a cutoff race and we have an opportunity to go there and do some special stuff from the hometown. It's always fun.
Hemric is fifth in the Xfinity playoff standings. RCR also revealed today they've signed Matt Tift to a multi-year deal in the same series starting next year. Details are at MRN.com. I'm Woody Kane. This is NASCAR Today on the Motor Racing Network.
But I've seen some statistic about Jose Altuve and his career in the minor leagues where he had only one game where he had multiple home runs, and he's got three in the American League Divisional Series Game 1. It may be a very short stay for the Boston Red Sox, and I say that knowing full well that I have at least two Red Sox fans who listen to this program on a regular basis. I don't like it any more than you guys do, although, as it should be noted, Sports Illustrated 3 years ago put on the cover a picture of George Springer with the headline, "The Houston Astros, the 2017 World Series champion," which could possibly be the anti-Sports Illustrated cover jinx. Stop and think about that. Did I just blow everybody's mind there? I don't think I did at all. That's not what we do on this program. The program being the Todd Brommelkamp Show, along with Alex Kuhn. We get you up till 7 o'clock tonight. Thursday night football on the way. Pats and Buccaneers from Tampa. That's coming your way on our FM frequencies. 106.3 in Iowa City, 107.5 in Cedar Rapids. 1600 AM gets high school football tonight from Kingston Stadium at Cedar Rapids, Jefferson, and Waterloo East. I have no idea how we got somebody from the Washington Post to agree to come on this program in eastern Iowa, but I am very thankful that we have Chelsea Janes with us to help break down the National League Divisional Series, which will get underway tomorrow at Nationals Park between Washington and the Cubs. Chelsea, I've got to start with this. I was looking at your Twitter bio earlier today. I want to know how or why you were once booed at Turner Field in Atlanta, which isn't exactly a rarity, but I've got to hear the story behind this.
Yeah, it's a proud moment. We got a foul ball up in the press box, and instead of just dropping it to a kid, there was a kid off to the side who I thought looked very eager, so I tried to make it hard play and throw it over and just completely overshot him, and it went, like, out into a place where no one could get it. So I was booed soundly for that because, you know, there was a little kid without a ball and plenty of people right below me who could have gotten it, and instead I decided to throw it into no man's land like an idiot. So it was I deserved it. But it was still a proud moment.
All right. Well, we're off and running here. I'm a Cubs fan. Full disclosure here right out of the gate. I am a Cubs fan, and I want to know the status of Max Scherzer here. I know he was supposed to throw a bullpen session today, and it's looking like he's going to line up for Game 3 on Monday in Chicago. Has anything changed with that?
Nope. You know, he pushed back the bullpen. He's going to do that tomorrow, and if everything goes well, and they seem to think it will, he'll pitch Monday, like you said. So that gives the Nats kind of a nice safety net if things don't go well at home. But, yeah, it looks like he'll be there for Game 3, but he won't get to pitch twice this series if it goes that far, which I think is disappointing to the Nats.
What is the level of concern with Bryce Harper? Or I guess the better question is, what is his 18 at bat tune up before the playoffs and coming off of that knee injury look like?
It was a little bit ugly, to be honest. I mean, he just didn't look very comfortable. Took a lot of very un-Bryce Harper swings, as you might expect. You know, he gets thrown right back in there against major league pitching. But I, you know, he's sort of one of those guys you sort of throw it all out the window when the lights get this bright, especially against the Cubs. You know, I think he's just so into these moments where he can kind of be on this stage and soak it all up that it almost doesn't matter if he hadn't played in months, it feels like. So, you know, I think he'll be a little bit rusty, but, you know, and he's not going to be in a place where the Cubs are going to pitch around him like they have in the past, I would say. But, you know, he's going to be Bryce Harper, I think. And, you know, I think the Nats would rather take even like 50% Bryce Harper than anyone else.
It's interesting you mentioned the Cubs pitching around him, because I think when you look back at that point in time moving forward, something definitely changed with him. Did that affect the way that he played the game, the way that the Cubs approached him?
I think it did for a couple weeks. You know, I buy that. I think that there was a time where he started to get out of himself and try to reach for pitches he wouldn't normally, just because he was so frustrated with getting them. But there was something else going on there all year, I think, and they never said what it was. He was awkwardly quiet about it, you know, hinting at this injury that no one would say. So, you know, I think there was something going on with his shoulder that contributed to sort of his down year as a whole. But I think it's definitely fair to say that for a couple of weeks, Joe Maddon got in his head, and, you know, I think it's fair.
If you had to choose one player on this team, and I saw your column or your article about Anthony Rendon, there are so many good choices on this baseball team, but who would you say the MVP of this 2017 Nationals team has been?
I think it's Rendon. You know, they've had a lot of injuries. They've had a lot of guys be up and down, and Zimmerman's numbers are just absolutely incredible, but if you see him day-to-day, there's some streakiness there. So I think that Rendon as sort of the most consistent, can play every day, outstanding defender, you know, that nobody knows about. I think he was probably the MVP, but it's kind of hard to pick one on this team. I feel like, you know, even in the rotation, there's guys you'd look at and say, these are, you know, peripheral MVP-type candidates. So it's quite a loaded roster, and it's a testament to Rendon that I think a lot of people would agree that he has been the guy this year.
Chelsea Janes for the Washington Post joining us as we talk a little Cubs-Nationals baseball. That series, by the way, is set to be broadcast on TBS throughout the entirety. What are the chances you think this thing goes five games, Chelsea?
It's funny. I actually didn't entertain the notion that it wouldn't until a few days ago when we were booking flights. Someone was like, well, you shouldn't book that flight yet. And I was like, why? You know, that we're going to be there. You know, there's going to be five games. We'll come back here for five. And, you know, you just sort of assume that with these teams and the way they've played the last 2 years, that this is going to be a hard-fought series. But I don't know. It seems like every game I've seen between these two teams is crazy and long and, you know, back and forth and a lot of gamesmanship. And it's hard to imagine a series not sort of fulfilling that whole potential. But, you know, if for some reason the Nats lose game one and Gio kind of loses his mind in game two, then, you know, it could be fairly quick, because that's not a place you want to be going back to Wrigley.
And Dusty Baker made the comment that this was meant to be the Cubs and the Nationals meeting in the postseason. Do you get the sense that he is really looking forward to taking on one of his former teams?
I do. I think he's just looking forward to this team. You know, I think everyone in that world just has this quiet feeling that, like, whatever happens, this is the best team we've ever had. And I don't think that adds pressure, strangely enough. I sort of expected it to, but I think there's sort of a peace. It's like, you know what, if we can't win with this group, who knows? So, you know, I think Dusty just feels like he's got his best shot, and I think he's excited for that reason. But you know him, he's not going to hide from the fact that things didn't end well in Chicago, and he's brought that up. So I think he is excited to play the Cubs. I think he's just more excited to be in October in general and have a roster that looks like it could do some damage.
Is there any concern with the fans, especially, because I'm sure the team wouldn't acknowledge this, but with this team playing high stress and meaningful games for really the first time this year?
I think there is a little concern. I think it's a really fair question. From someone who's been there every day, it's almost the reverse to me. It's almost like this is the day that's been in their minds all year. They've played every game with an eye on October 6th. They've, you know, pulled themselves out of games early because of a little tightness here and there because of October 6th. You know, everything's been done, everything's been crafted around this day, and I think that that's sort of similar to what the Cubs went through last year when they clinched early and were able to sort of have that feeling throughout the second half that this was a done deal. You know, I think the Nats have been very similar. So they're a veteran team. You don't worry about them sort of turning off the switch. You just worried about them getting here healthy. And for the most part, they've done that. And I think for them, that's almost, you know, just as good as having all the energy and adrenaline going of a late season push. It's like, okay, we're healthy. We're ready. This is what we worked for. And I think they've just been very excited for this day for a very long time.
Does Mike Rizzo get enough credit for what he was able to do at the trade deadline and basically completely rebuilding that team's bullpen?
I think it's too soon to say, but I do think it's fairly remarkable what he was able to get done there, particularly because he had a list of five prospects he didn't want to give up, and he didn't touch a single one of them. And when you look at, you know, what it took for the Cubs to get Chapman, for example, last year, it was an absolutely absurd return. And certainly there was no Chapman that the Nats got, but they got a setup guy and a closer for, you know, a big league reliever they were done with and two maybe prospects. You know, it's sort of stunning. So, you know, I think that, you know, if they win and the bullpen holds up, he'll get all that credit. You know, he'll get plenty here because this is a town that's seen a lot of bullpen experiments fail. But this one has been really impressive and, you know, feels like kind of exactly what they needed at exactly the price they wanted, which just doesn't happen. You just don't see that.
John Lester is going in game two for the Cubs. I know a lot of fellow Cub fans are very concerned about the Nationals and their propensity to run. They've got Trey Turner, who is a tremendous weapon. Do you see them trying to push the envelope in that second game of the series on the base paths and try to get Lester out of his comfort zone?
I do. I actually see them trying to do it all series. I think that's a real big point of emphasis for them. From what we've heard, their young rookie Victor Robles is on the roster, who really can only be on the roster for one purpose, which is to run. I mean, you've got Trey Turner-like speed. So they're loaded. They're fast. They're very mobile. And I think that they feel like, you know, even with Contreras behind the plate instead of Montero, that this is a team they can kind of mess with a little bit. And they're willing to give up outs on the bases, the Nats are. You know, they've been willing to do that all year. And not in a sloppy way, in an aggressive way. And I don't expect that to change. And, you know, particularly against Lester, I think they'll really try to mess with him and see if they can use their speed to their advantage.
Chelsea, we appreciate you taking the time to join us on the program. And as a Cub fan, I certainly appreciate the perspective on the Washington Nationals that I've been able to glean from reading your work through the years. Appreciate the time and enjoy it's work. But enjoy the series as long as it lasts. I have a feeling the Nationals are going to wind up winning. What's your gut feeling?
I wish I had one. I talk myself in and out of everything over and over. So I'll go with you, but it's non-committal.
It's a very professional answer there. We appreciate the time, as always. Thanks, Chelsea.
Thanks for having me.
Chelsea Janes of the Washington Post, and I think that's the worst fear realized for Cub fans is that Washington is going to try to run, and not just on John Lester, but throughout this series, because one of the key cogs in the 2016 team that ain't around anymore, David Ross, who was tremendous defensively. And especially with John Lester on the mound in game two, I could see this being something that leads to some manufactured runs. And I think pitching is going to dominate this series. I don't know why. We've seen a ton of offense so far in the postseason, and it's just two wild card games and the first American League Divisional Series game today. But offense all over the place, and you've got two teams with loaded lineups, and I just have a feeling that we're going to see pitching dictate the outcome of this series.
Well, for the Chicago Cubs, the pitching has to be there if they want to have a chance in this series. I think that really goes without saying, and a lot of Cubs fans are just wondering what will John Lester look like? If it goes that far, what will Jake Arrieta look like? Will Jose Quintana step up in his first playoff appearance? So I think a lot of Nationals fans are confident in what they have in those top three guys. last year going into the playoffs, the Cubs were very confident in what they had in those top three guys. And I think it could be a good series. And if it is, it's going to be because the Cubs pitching and John Lester stepping up in October and Jake Arrieta stepping up in October and Kyle Hendricks coming out and setting a tone early, that's going to go a long way in making it a good series, if in fact it is.
American League is center stage tonight. National League comes into focus tomorrow. That Cubs National Series, as we mentioned, is going to be on TBS throughout the entirety. Whether or not it goes five games, you know Scherzer is only going to be able to pitch in one of them. Now, there is a question about Jake Arrieta and his hamstring and whether or not he's going to be his typical self in the postseason as well. I like giving Kyle Hendricks the ball in game one and going with John Lester in game two. And then you've got Jose Quintana, who has no postseason experience, but has been very good for the most part since coming over to the Cubs in that trade with the White Sox. And then there you go in game four, you've got Arrieta. Now, I will say this, and somebody did point it out on the text line. I think it's a little bit of an oversimplification, but if you've got Scherzer, if you're the Nationals and Scherzer's going in game three, that's not necessarily the worst thing in the world, because say you do slip up at home and you're down 0-2 or even the series is 1-1 going to Wrigley Field, then you got your ace going in game three and you can grab a little bit of momentum. So we'll see. I'm not exactly sure of what to expect out of Max Scherzer, but he's been one of the best pitchers in baseball over the last several years, dating back to before he was even acquired by the Nationals. And to me, I just get the sense that this is Washington's year to make some noise. And we haven't really seen them on the precipice of doing that since 2012. And that was the year where they shut down Steven Strasburg. And it just, you almost felt like the window has closed on them, and then here they are again. And I didn't see it coming. I had the Mets winning the East Division this year. Didn't see the Nationals coming at all. But I think, again, a lot of the credit has to go to Mike Rizzo, who's the general manager, who at the trade deadline saw that his team had an Achilles heel, and it was the bullpen. And so he went out and he got some pieces, multiple pieces, including Sean Doolittle from the Athletics, who I think is sort of the unsung hero there. I always, something about the lefties in the bullpen, I don't know what it is, but I have a soft spot in my heart for him. But Rizzo overhauled that bullpen. They've got Jason Wirth back. They've got Bryce Harper back at full health. This team is going to be a tough out for the Cubs.
And I think Lester might be the X factor in this series, because we know how good the bats are for the Washington Nationals, but those power bats, all left-handed hitters. And Quintana is going to have a good game as well. But can Lester come out with some of his better stuff and make it tough on Harper and Rendon and Daniel Murphy and Matt Wieters and all of those powerful left-handed hitters in the Washington Nationals lineup? If he can, and they can get one in Washington, then they have a good chance of coming out on top in this series. But if they get down 0-2, then it could be a very quick series.
Couple baseball notes before we move on here. The Diamondbacks have announced that Taijuan Walker will be their Game 1 starter in their divisional series against the Dodgers. And Mike Berardino, who covers the Minnesota Twins for the St. Paul Pioneer Press, is reporting that Paul Molitor has been invited back to manage the Twins in 2018. However, a source with direct knowledge says nothing has been decided or agreed to yet. So it sounds as if the Twins front office is willing to move forward with Molitor, but there may be some discussions as to contract, maybe coaching staff, the makeup of the coaching staff. I know there were a couple changes last offseason that I think were positive that benefited the Twins, but it sounds like Molitor is in the plans for 2018, but there needs to be further discussions.
Well, his contract was up after this. His contract is now up, I believe. And that was a question going into the playoffs. And that's where the speculation came from, because it was a year where the Twins were going to evaluate everything. And you see that Paul Molitor's contract was coming up. So that's probably where the little bit of the hang-up is. He's invited back. They got to work out a contract. But good news to hear that he's coming back, because I think a lot of Twins fans were hoping. And if this was an evaluation year, I would have to think that Paul Molitor probably passed his evaluation.
Oh, there's no doubt about that. And I think if you're Paul Molitor, you got to be happy about the prospect of coming back and working with guys like Byron Buxton and Max Kepler again for another season, and the young pitching that's come along. But what will the Twins do this offseason, which is really their first full offseason with that front office in place, Thad Levine and Derek Falvey, who've been on the job now for a year, but this was sort of, as you termed it, an evaluation period where they were able to look in the organization basically top to bottom from the minor leagues all the way up, see who they liked, who fit into perhaps a different role, who needed to go, and they are well underway. They've let go a couple minor league staff members. We talked about that with Phil Miller earlier in the week. Doug Minkiewicz, who's a very popular former Twins player and was managing in Fort Myers, the step right above the Cedar Rapids Colonels, he will not be back next season. And Eric Rasmussen, who's the roving pitching instructor who filled in for Neil Allen last season when Allen had his DUI slip up, he spent, 26, 27 years in the Twins organization, and they parted ways with him as well. So it's very clear that that front office is working to implement their philosophy, and it sounds like Paul Molitor is definitely a part of the 2018 plans for the Twins, at least according to Mike Berardino from the St. Paul Pioneer Press. 6:24, high school and NFL football on the horizon tonight. We'll continue to keep you updated on the American League Divisional Series games, one going on, one about to get underway in Cleveland. More to come. It's the Todd Brommelkamp Show with Alex Kuhn on KGYM. Back after this.
If you finally decided to address your hearing loss, the MD Hearing Aid Air is a medical-grade hearing aid that costs up to 90% less than traditional hearing aids. Designed by a Chicago doctor, the MD Hearing Aid Air has a sleek, nearly invisible profile. This digital hearing aid incorporates technology and features found in hearing aids costing thousands of dollars. The Air offers advanced noise reduction, making speech clearer and virtually eliminating annoying background noise. Three environmental settings put you in control. You select the best setting for your location. Call 1-800-758-2010. Over 100,000 satisfied customers have already made the call. Call right now for our exclusive 45-day risk-free trial and get free shipping and a year's worth of free batteries, a $50 value. Call MD Hearing Aid at 1-800-758-2010. Satisfaction guaranteed. That's 1-800-758-2010.
Along with the crunch of leaves underfoot and the scent of smoke wisping from the chimneys, fall brings with it a sense of tradition. The certain sound of chattering children in costume on Halloween, or the gathering round the table for a magnificent turkey dinner. There are things you can count on year after year. That's what fall means to the Dickens family. Since the 1940s, they've run Hertin and Stocker as a family business, true to the classic fine jewelry store. Though it may be surprising in these modern times, they still offer a layaway program. Put down some money and pay each month until you're ready to take your piece home. Of course, it's interest-free. During the fall, as you enjoy your family's traditions and begin holiday shopping, walk by and see what's in those famous windows at Hertin and Stocker Jewelers, corner of Dubuque and Washington in downtown Iowa City. Then step inside and wish a happy 70th anniversary to Willa, Terry, Tim, or Kate. One of them is always there.
Is your power tool not working? Does your mower or chainsaw need maintenance? If you're having these issues with your power equipment or just need something tuned up, let the factory-trained technicians at Acme Tools fix the problem for you. We'll assess the issue and give you a free estimate to get it fixed. Mention this ad and we'll take 10% off your service work. For quality service work and parts, visit the Acme Tools Service Department and let us help you do your best work. Acme Tools on Blairsbury Road in Cedar Rapids.
Shifting gears is what it takes sometimes to move forward. PMX Industries in Cedar Rapids is looking for some special people like you who view life a bit differently. You're intrigued by the thought of working all night when the rest of the world isn't. You like the freedom and the pay night work offers, plus overtime. Shifting gears with PMX Overnight offers stellar health benefits with medical, dental, and vision, coupled with rock-solid retirement benefits. Working the overnight shift at PMX isn't for everyone, but shifting gears may be perfect for you. Learn more at ipmx.com.
6:28. Welcome back. The final 30 minutes or so of the program. I neglected to congratulate Steve in Center Point earlier. He was the winner of the penultimate $30 gift card to La Cantina Mexican Bar and Grill. You can check him out online, lacantina319.com. We'll have that final $30 gift card for you tomorrow during the KGYM road trip driven by Linder Tire. We're going to return to the Coach's Corner Sports Pub in Iowa City, 749 Mormon Trek Boulevard, doing the show from 4 until 7 tomorrow. The 6 o'clock hour, the big hour, brought to you by Hawkeye Title and Settlement, will feature Rob Howe from HawkeyeNation.com, and a very popular guest, former Hawkeye Scott Chandler, will be stopping by to get you ready for homecoming. Iowa, Illinois, 11 o'clock kickoff Saturday morning in Iowa City. That means Before the Boom airs at 9 a.m. on 106.3 FM and 107.5 FM, and we will get you ready for what is to be an 18-point spread, according to the odds makers. Iowa is, well, I've got to look at the rest of the games. And oh, yeah, they are the second biggest favorite, I believe, this weekend. Yeah.
And we'll Rutgers see. Isn't even playing.
And Rutgers isn't even playing. We covered it earlier today on the Gym Class on the Carl and Ernie's Pick 6, which leads me to the poll question. What is the more impressive feat on the Pick 6, going 6-0 or going 0-6? You can vote now. The poll question available until 7 o'clock tonight. Emil's Hideaway is on First Avenue Southeast behind Taco John's next to the Home Depot. And we have somebody who has gone 0-6. He hopes to go 6-0, and then everything washes out record-wise.
Did you
but
vote? Have you guys
I did
voted?
Not. No.
I didn't vote either. I think it's a going
lot,
6-0.
It's a lot harder to go 6-0 yeah. than it is to go
0-6. Yeah, okay.
Although there have been weeks where I didn't really... I don't want to ruin the illusion here, but there were weeks where I really didn't care. And I just picked Whoa. Games.
Well, that's actually,
and
I got off to a really bad start.
I've been fine, and then there have been weeks where I put a lot of work into researching the games, and I stunk.
Well, that's what happened to me. When I first got here, I put a lot of work into researching the games, and I think I went 1-5 my first week, and then second week I said, all right, I'll just, whatever name comes to my mind first, I'm going to pick that school to win, and I started doing better. So that's my secret.
There's no secret at all. But good luck to our 6 contestants this week. Somebody's going to win a $30 gift card to Carl and Ernie's Good Time Pub and Grub on Highway 1 West in Iowa City. 6:31, let's kick it over to Kyle. That'd be a great segment. Kick it over to Kyle. Right? Midwest One Bank Big Board Update. Midwest One, where you're the one.
Iowa football announced today that former defensive lineman Adrian Claiborne will serve as this week's honorary captain against Illinois. Claiborne was named National Defensive Player of the Year in 2010, and you might remember his blocked punt touchdown in an upset over Penn State. He's got some freedom this weekend as his Falcons are on their bye week. Linebacker Josie Jewell was selected as one of 30 candidates for the Senior Class Award. That gets awarded to the senior student athlete that best combines on-field success with a positive impact in and around their community. We mentioned that Iowa volleyball had a big match with number 22 Michigan last night, and they went on to pull off the upset. They dropped the first set before claiming the next 3 in a row to move to 13-5 and 2-3 in the conference. It doesn't get a whole lot easier, though, as they've got number 4 Nebraska on Saturday. Zach Johnson is in Napa, California this weekend for the Safeway Open. He shot a 68 in his first round to tie for 5th at 4 under par. He trails leader Brendan Steele by 3 strokes. Tonight after the show, we've got a busy night of football on 1600 AM, the historic main gym. We'll have Scott Unash on the call at Kingston Stadium, where Cedar Rapids Jefferson is hosting Waterloo East. And on our FM frequencies, we'll bring you Thursday night football as Tom Brady and the Patriots travel to Tampa Bay to take on Jameis Winston and the Bucks. That's going to be on 106.3 FM, the South Gym, as well as 107.5 FM, the North Gym.
Lots of baseball on tap for you tonight. As we mentioned, the American League Divisional Series underway. Cleveland and New York about to get started up. The Astros trying to put the finishing touches on the Red Sox. And Jose Altuve will have almost single-handedly put the Astros up 1-0 with his performance for Houston. They are leading 8-2 in the top of the 9th inning in Houston, which is absolutely incredible. I can't say this enough. I was there in 2013 for a couple exhibition games between the Cubs and the Astros, and both of those teams were just god-awful. The 2013 Cubs and the 2013 Astros, they were two teams. They were headed in similar directions, and after the Cubs got out of town, the Astros wound up playing an exhibition game against some of their minor league all-stars, guys like Carlos Correa, George Springer, and none of whom had actually put on an Astros uniform at that point in time. But, I mean, we're talking attendance slightly better than a Cedar Rapids Colonels game. Granted, they were exhibition games in March, but the point was there's no interest. And now people are once again backing the Astros. They're back on board. And it's great to see. I wish Bo Porter would have been able to be around to be part of it. The former Hawkeye who was let go as manager a couple years ago, and A.J. Hinch has taken over the club and done an excellent job with it. But I have a soft spot in my heart for the Astros, and I think that Houston and Cleveland is going to be a tremendous American League Championship Series, if that is indeed what we get. We gave our predictions a little earlier in the week. I've got the Nationals and the Dodgers in the National League. And I watched Arizona last night, and I'm starting to get that feeling that I went heavy with the chalk, which means, the favorites. I'm starting to get the feel that the Diamondbacks could really be a thorn in the side of the Dodgers, especially if Clayton Kershaw continues to underperform in the postseason, which his ERA is something like 4.7 or something in postseason play. If Kershaw underperforms and the Diamondbacks hit the ball like they did last night, this could be a much more intriguing series than people thought at the onset.
I hope so, because I think it was me that put the Diamondbacks in the World Series.
I'm setting you up here. Exactly. Take a bow, Alex Kuhn.
No, and I won't take one yet, because it's still a long way from happening, but I was pretty upset with myself yesterday when you asked me if I could name three Diamondbacks. And I guess I'm not great when I'm put on the spot. I didn't get Robbie Ray right away. And then Jake Lamb. How did I forget Jake Lamb? Left-handed swinger who nobody talks about, but is a really good hitter in that lineup. I know a lot of fantasy baseball owners know who Jake Lamb is.
We played this game the other day with the current Diamondbacks and Rockies. I want to play it now because BJ and Marion, who's our resident Astros fan, said that I should not have brought up the 2013, the rebuilding years. Take Jose Altuve off the board. Name three members of the 2013 Houston Astros. Three members of the 2013 Houston Astros not named Jose Altuve.
I don't know if I can name one. Was Colin McHugh on that team?
Not yet.
Was George Springer in the major leagues yet?
Not in the major leagues yet at that point.
Whew.
A former member of the St. Louis Cardinals appeared in 25 games for the 2013 Astros that season, playing primarily right field, and he hit .194.
Oh, Brett Wallace.
Wrong.
Brett Wallace wasn't
Brett
on that
Wallace
team?
Brett Wallace was on that team. He hit .221. Oh, so he's okay. About 30 points higher than... I was trying to set you up for Rick Ankiel.
Oh, Rick Ankiel played for the 2013 Astros.
That may have been his last year in the major leagues. And I understand this is an absolute throwaway. Nobody cares, not even BJ and Marion, because he doesn't want to be reminded of this. How about JD Martinez? Yeah.
I had no idea.
The Astros gave up on him, basically gave him away. the primary starting lineup for the 2013 Houston Astros. And this should give you hope. This is why we're doing this segment right now, not to bore you, but to let you know that if your baseball team stinks right now, maybe in as little as 4 years, you could be on the precipice of going to the World Series. This was the honest-to-God starting lineup for the 2013 Houston Astros. Jason Castro behind the plate.
BJ giving the hint on the Hurtin and Stocker text line. One is in Minnesota, so that would be Jason Castro.
Chris Carter at first base.
Not the football player.
Altuve was a 23-year-old second baseman. He hit .283 that year, which I believe was his rookie season. Jonathan Villar at shortstop. Matt Dominguez at third. And then an outfielder of LJ Hose, Brandon Barnes, and JD Martinez, with Carlos Pena as the designated hitter. JD Martinez hit .250 with 7 homers and 36 runs driven in 86 games with the 2013 Astros. Dallas Keuchel, by the way, was on that team. You could have thrown him out there. Their rotation: Dallas Keuchel, Lucas Harrell, Eric Bedard, Jordan Lyles, Bud Norris. And you can throw Brad Peacock in there as well.
Bud Norris.
The legendary.
Cardinal killer.
Legendary 2013 Houston Astros. We cover it all here on the Todd Bromwell Camp Show. 6:39. We'll step aside, take a quick break. And when we come back, I'm expecting somebody on the text line right now to be texting about Brett Oberholzer. 319-366-1600. That's the Hurtin and Stocker text line, by the way. More to come. We'll get you ready for Thursday night football. The New England Patriots and the Tampa Bay Buccaneers. Sadly, neither is wearing throwback uniforms tonight. More to come after this.
We alarm our houses and we alarm our cars. But when it comes to your personal information, it can be tough to know when something isn't right. That's where Discover Card can help. Now, we'll send you an alert if we find your social security number on any one of thousands of risky websites. And this service is free for card members. Just sign up online. It's our way of looking out for you, not just your account. Learn more at discover.com/freealerts. Limitations apply.
Guys, get to JCPenney today for Levi's lowest prices of the season, like 505 regular fit and 501 original fit for $36.99 each. And check out what's new in our new big and tall shop inside the men's store at JCPenney. Get all your work to weekend apparel in extended sizes, up to 5XL and 54 waist in store and 60 waist at jcp.com. Hurry, sale ends soon. That's getting your pennies worth. JCPenney. Offers represent savings on regular or original prices while supplies last. Some exclusions apply. Season refers to the time period from 9/14 to 10/9. See store at jcp.com for details.
Napa know-how.
Right now, Napa Full Synthetic Motor Oil is on sale for just $4.29 a quart. Quality motor oil at an affordable price. A deal so good it practically sells itself. Which begs the question, what do we do with the rest of this commercial? Repeat the deal, I guess. Napa Full Synthetic Motor Oil for just $4.29 a quart. That's Napa know-how.
Napa know-how.
General States pricing. Sales prices do not include applicable state, local taxes, or recycling fees. Offer ends 10/31/17.
This is Hal's Yard as Halloween approaches, and summer's harsh heat has turned his lawn into a virtual cemetery. But Hal knows fall is the best time to feed his lawn and repair those scary thin brown patches. So he reaches for Scott's Turf Builder Winter Guard Fall Lawn Food. It feeds and replenishes nutrients. Roots grow deeper and stronger. So next spring, Hal's grass grows thicker and greener. Guaranteed. This is a Scott's Yard. Pick up a bag of Scott's Winter Guard today.
We all win by living united, by forging unlikely partnerships, finding new solutions to old problems, and inspiring individuals to join the fight against our community's most daunting social crises. We are more than the fundraisers. We are the hand raisers and the game changers. United Way of East Central Iowa. Volunteer, advocate, give, make a difference. Go to uweci.org/2017 to learn more about how you can join the fight.
Kubota's Orange Opportunity Sales event is going on now. Take on all kinds of jobs around your property with a Kubota BX Series subcompact tractor. The BX has the versatility to handle a wide variety of garden and yard chores. Now get financing as low as 0% APR for up to 84 months, plus great customer instant rebates and a 6-year warranty. Now through October 31st, 2017. See us or go to KubotaUSA.com for more information.
Kubota, a proud sponsor of Iowa State football on the Cyclone Radio Network. Visit a participating Iowa Kubota dealer near you.
6:42, welcome back in the Todd Brommelkamp Show along with Alex Kuhn, taking you up until the top of the hour. High school football on the way tonight. A pair of 2-4 teams coming your way between Waterloo East and Cedar Rapids Jefferson. This ain't the NFL, folks. We can't flex out of games. But we'll have it for you. Scott Unash on the call, 1600 AM. The FM frequencies get the NFL, and it's the Patriots and the Buccaneers, and everybody gets their Thursday night fill, including the defending Super Bowl champions, who look anything like, nothing like, the defending Super Bowl champions at this point. The defense has been a major point of contention for the Patriots this year. Alex Kuhn, does New England right the ship tonight against the Buccaneers?
No, they do not. I have a lot of confidence in this Buccaneers team. I have Mike Evans on my fantasy. Oh, I just broke one of my golden rules. Don't ever talk about your fantasy teams. I look at the Buccaneers, and I think they are a playoff team. And
look, we're breaking rules right and left tonight.
A dark horse.
Kyle's talking about teases and using inside radio terms on the air, and I just did a 5-minute segment where I was basically doing a one-man radio show for one listener in particular, talking about the 2013 Astros. So as far as breaking rules are concerned, here's a hammer.
Okay, well, Tampa Bay,
I want to hear all about your fantasy team,
is going to beat the New England tonight. But I had an idea during the break, and I just wanted to float this out there.
Dog and Daddy?
90
Daddy
seconds.
And the dog?
We just did 90 seconds of the Astros. Why don't we do maybe once a week 90 seconds on a team of the listener's choice? And we can make it funny.
What if
we can make
it
entertaining?
What if the team is Iowa volleyball?
Well, it can't be anything affiliated with Iowa, Iowa State. It has to be a team outside of the state of Iowa.
Okay.
Because we talk about those teams regardless.
What if the team is a 2-4 high school football team?
Got to do it.
What if the team is the 2013 Houston Astros?
Why don't we just not specify what year it is, just team in general?
Okay.
I don't know, just a thought. Would that be breaking any rules? Because yesterday we talked about the Toronto Maple Leafs. Today we talked about the 2013 Houston Astros. I don't know. I feel like we do 90 seconds of NASCAR.
That's a Jeremiah Davis exclusive. That's like Brent Bloom having trademarked or missing out on trademarking Hoyball. We need to get the trademark 90 seconds of NASCAR. Maybe in Jeremiah, we could turn that into a short form program and replace NASCAR Today.
I like that idea.
Then he gets syndicated, he goes national, and then the next thing you know, he's too busy to come on the show with us.
Oh, that would be unfortunate. I don't know. I don't know how that would go over. We'd have to make it entertaining, which I think we can do, but
that's a tall order.
90 seconds of the Portland Trail Blazers.
Well, Sam Bowie, and then, yeah, okay. I left 88 seconds on the table. 0261 listening and using the Hurtin and Stocker text line. I have a specific question here. He threw out a statistic, and I'm curious. Were you listening to the Lebatard show this morning? Because this is where I heard that particular nugget. And if you were, more power to you. It means you've been listening to ESPN Radio and KGYM almost all day. But he points out on the text line that Tom Brady is on record for on track for a personal record high of sacks taken this season. But Tampa Bay has only allowed or only recorded one sack. So something gives tonight. Brady has been on his back a ton this season, which is never good when your quarterback is 40 years old. And Tampa Bay is having a hard time getting to quarterbacks this year. I just I know this sounds extremely lazy. I think this sets up for New England to have a big game tonight. We're talking 14-17 point win, some sort of. And then the narrative tomorrow, if you hate the Patriots, you're going to want to avoid ESPN Radio because it's just going to be wall-to-wall. Patriots are back, baby.
So you think that they never win anywhere.
They never win anywhere.
Game. You think their defense plays well?
I think Matt, this is all I'll say tonight. Matt Patricia will be on the sideline, and he'll be wearing a red jacket because that's what he always does. Other than that, Other than that, I have no predictions about the Patriots defense, who, to my wife's credit, the Patriots are her team, have been since Drew Bledsoe was the quarterback. She said at the very beginning of the year, they didn't do anything with the defense. They didn't make major changes on the defensive side of the football, and they weren't very good last year. So she saw this coming. She's not even frustrated at this point. She's just sort of, eh. I said, hey, the Patriots are playing Thursday night football this week. Meh.
Really?
And Gronk is out? Yeah. I don't know what it is, but she's upset that they didn't make the defense any better. So this is just, it's the chickens coming home to roost.
It is, and you don't expect it with the New England Patriots. You just expect that when they get rid of somebody, when they trade someone away like Jamie Collins to the Cleveland Browns for a third-round pick, or Chandler Jones to the Arizona Cardinals, guys that can rush the passer, you just assume that they're going to plug somebody else in there who you've never heard of, and that person is going to get it done. That hasn't been the case this year. And I think that more than anything, like we were talking about with the Chicago Blackhawks not making the playoffs, would I be surprised? Yes, I would be surprised because I'm used to seeing whoever they have on the ice succeed. Same thing with the New England Patriots. I'm used to seeing whoever they have on the field defensively succeed, and they have not done so far in 2017.
We have the first nomination on the text line for 90 seconds of any team, and it is just as brutally dreadful as I would have predicted it to be. The 1969 Seattle Pilots. Played at Six Stadium in Seattle, managed by Joe Schultz, and moved to Milwaukee the next year.
Ray Swallow was their scouting director.
One of us isn't using Google.
I'm just trying to add as many factoids as possible. But no, this would presumably be something that we would spend some time on. Make it we're not just going to rattle off some facts and bore you to death.
The 2008 Detroit Lions. This is what the listeners want to do to us. I guess, no, actually, you know what? It's true to the DNA of the segment that's not ever going to come to fruition. Because we talked about a terrible team in the 2013 Houston Astros, and now you've got people 69 Pilots, which if you aren't a baseball fan or you aren't a baseball historian, that's the Milwaukee Brewers. They played for 1 year in Seattle and then moved, and the city of Seattle had to wait until the expansion year of 77, I believe, was the first year that the Mariners were on the scene, along with the Toronto Blue Jays. The 2008 Lions, was that Joey Harrington? Was he the quarterback of the 2008 Lions? Marty Morningweg?
That wasn't the team that went 0-16, is it? With Dan Orlovsky? Those horrible Lions teams
Orlovsky's
all run
more,
together.
More recent than that. 319-366-1600, and yes, this is exactly what it sounds like at 6:51 on a Thursday night. Exactly what it sounds like. We got to take a break, right?
Yes. We do.
We'll give you a break. You, the listener, are going to get a break here from inane banter about the 1969 Seattle Mike Hegan.
That's a name. I was going to ask you if you could name anybody on that team.
Mike Hegan.
Mike Hegan was their right fielder.
Okay. I'm going through the Sibby Sisti was on the coaching staff. Don't ask me how I know that. I could probably
We need a break.
I could probably come up with a couple more members of the 69 Pilots, but it would just be you and me talking to each other at that
69,
point.
Isn't that a band? Oh, no, that's 21 Pilots.
Or
Sorry
Stone Temple Pilots, right? I guess it just depends on what your age is there. We do need to take a break. We need to give you a break. And then when we come back, Kyle's going to have his final Midwest One Bank big board update of the night. And we'll set the table for the road trip tomorrow back at the Coach's Corner Sports Pub in Iowa City. Back with more of the reflections of the 69 Seattle Pilots.
Dan Orlovsky was the quarterback.
Yeah, see, I was wrong.
If you finally decided to address your hearing loss, the MD Hearing Aid Air is a medical-grade hearing aid that costs up to 90% less than traditional hearing aids. Designed by a Chicago doctor, the MD Hearing Aid Air has a sleek, nearly invisible profile. This digital hearing aid incorporates technology and features found in hearing aids costing thousands of dollars. The Air offers advanced noise reduction, making speech clearer and virtually eliminating annoying background noise. Three environmental settings put you in control. You select the best setting for your location. Call 1-800-758-2010. Over 100,000 satisfied customers have already made the call. Call right now for our exclusive 45-day risk-free trial and get free shipping and a year's worth of free batteries, a $50 value. Call MD Hearing Aid at 1-800-758-2010. Satisfaction guaranteed. That's 1-800-758-2010. If you finally decided to address your hearing loss, the MD Hearing Aid Air is a medical-grade hearing aid that costs up to 90% less than traditional hearing aids. Designed by a Chicago doctor, the MD Hearing Aid Air has a sleek, nearly invisible profile. This digital hearing aid incorporates technology and features found in hearing aids costing thousands of dollars. The Air offers advanced noise reduction, making speech clearer and virtually eliminating annoying background noise. Three environmental settings put you in control. You select the best setting for your location. Call 1-800-758-2010. Over 100,000 satisfied customers have already made the call. Call right now for our exclusive 45-day risk-free trial and get free shipping and a year's worth of free batteries, a $50 value. Call MD Hearing Aid at 1-800-758-2010. Satisfaction guaranteed. That's 1-800-758-2010.
The High School Football Scoreboard Show is brought to you by Holmes Murphy, Fighting Insurance Solutions. Holmes Murphy, thinking ahead. Visit HOLMESMurphy.com.
Oh, the text line is taking this idea and running with it. And Alex, now I really don't know what we're going to do.
Well, the reason I bring this up is because I know there's the Talk Sports group, and I know that there's the group that doesn't like to talk about sports. They want to talk about the broader issues. But I feel like we never satisfy the needs of the history buff group. And I know they're out there. And I think that this 90-second little spiel might do it.
People don't appreciate history.
There are those people out there, though.
66, 62.
You do.
Yeah, of course I do. 66, 60. I'm living history at this point. I'm 37. I feel like I'm 73. 66, 62, trying to get a 1988 Atlanta Braves reference in there. You ain't getting that. Look, two of my favorite Cubs of the 80s were on the 88 Atlanta Braves, Jody Davis and Paul Ossenmacher. You ain't getting that one by me. 319-366-1600. Yeah, they 106 losses in 88. And then in 1991, they made history with the Minnesota Twins. They both went from worst to first. 1991. Jeff Johnson's favorite year. I know JJ was on the gym class earlier today, taking an unsolicited shot at the Chicago Cubs and Joe Maddon, because that's what he does. Now let's send it over to Kyle Mann. He's got your final Midwest One Bank Big Board update before we send you off to a pair of 2-4 high school football teams or Thursday night football.
Iowa football announced today that former defensive lineman Adrian Claiborne will serve as this week's honorary captain against Illinois. Claiborne was named National Defensive Player of the Year in 2010, and you might remember his blocked punt for a touchdown in an upset over Penn State. He's got some freedom this weekend as his Falcons are on their bye week. Linebacker Josie Jewell was selected as one of 30 candidates for their senior class award that gets awarded to the senior student athlete that best combines on-field success with a positive impact in and around their community. We mentioned that Iowa volleyball had a big match with number 22 Michigan last night, and they went on to pull off the upset. They dropped the first set before claiming the next three in a row to move to 13-5 and 2-3 in the Big Ten. It doesn't get a whole lot easier, though, as they've got number 4 Nebraska on Saturday. Zach Johnson is in Napa, California this weekend for the Safeway Open. He shot a 68 in his first round today to tie for sixth at 4 under par. He trails leader Brendan Steele by 3 strokes. And tonight after the show, we've got a busy night of football on 1600 AM, the historic main gym. It's going to be Scott Unesh on the call at Kingston Stadium, where Cedar Rapids Jefferson is hosting Waterloo East. And on our FM frequencies, we'll bring you Thursday night football as Tom Brady and the Pats travel to Tampa Bay to take on Jameis Winston and the Bucks. That's going to be on 106.3 FM, the South Gym, and 107.5 FM, the North Gym.
Join us tomorrow as we take the KGYM road trip driven by Linder Tire to Iowa City and return to the Coach's Corner Sports Pub from 4 until 7. Be there or be square. Here comes football.
It's time for some straight talk. Green, you love your phone, don't you? Bye.